So those of you who are here for my first sermon, I was really nervous. This is my second one, and I'm really nervous. I was telling everybody, you know, this might be easier. This is going to be a little easier on me, I'm sure. No, it's not. But I'm like Pastor read chapter 9 of Romans, verses 1 through 3. It's Paul talking about the nation of Israel. He has this sorrow and this passion for lost souls. That's what I'm calling this sermon. He's got this passion for lost souls. And I'm going to start by letting you know some good news and some better news. The good news is I only have 6 main points tonight. The better news is that each main point has a lot of little ones in it. So I picked a passion for lost souls because too many Christians, along with myself even, too many Christians are okay with not being very proactive, not being almost on the attack. Now, people say, well, I don't like the pushy Christian. I don't like people to push. You ain't got to push it on them. But if you're not doing anything, what is that doing? Absolutely nothing. So this is why I think God has laid it on me a lot, is because of these Christians, we need to have a lot of fire in our soul. We need to have it. Not that we need to push people away, but because there needs to be something. You know, we need to be that vessel for God. And so my first point is why we need a passion for lost souls. And what came to my mind is because salvation is the man's greatest need. And we all think we need a lot of things, whether that's a car, a house, lots of stuff. My mom helped me with this one. She gave me this analogy. There's a lot of stuff. And she said, you got God over here, okay? And you see his wonderful, wonderful world, his everything he's got for you. And then do you see this? I have this in my hand. Can everybody see that? You can't. Oh, what, are you sure you can't see that? Okay, well, that's you and all your stuff, okay? And that's God and all his greatness. And we want to do this because this is my stuff. It's so important. It's important to me. It's my stuff. But why can't we just, you know, why can't we do there? So we think we need a lot of things, but what exactly do we need? You know, people say, well, you need money to live. I agree. You don't need to love it. We need money to live. We need a house. We need shelter. I understand. But when we start getting overboard with it, that's when we have too much stuff. We get ridiculous. And so what exactly do we need to get through life? Well, many of us would answer God. Well, exactly. That's exactly right. But what do lost souls need? See, we could tell them they need God. You guys need God. You know, I got something for you. But if we don't push the envelope a little bit, what if we don't push it on them because we don't have that passion? They never get it. They never get it. And I was typing my notes here, and I had this really nice flow going. I was really in the zone. And God kind of laid this on me, okay? God tells his son, you need to die for these people. And what did he do? He obeyed and he did it. And now because of that, we all have everlasting life. We know this, right? That's awesome. But what if there was no passion there? And he just said, you know what? Dad, no, they can pay for their own crimes. They can do it themselves. See, I've been perfect. I don't need, they can, where would we be? Lost. Exactly, you just said lost. We'd be lost. We would have no hope. There would be nothing for us. I don't know. There'd be nothing for us to hold on to. You know, there's no stronghold. There's no one to turn to. It's like being neglected. And this is, I forget who told me and where I heard it from, but there was a statement made to me, and I heard it one time, and it was a very tough question for me to ask or for me to answer. And it was, what is the first name of the last person you led to the Lord? And at the time when I was asked this, I had no idea. Now, I could tell you I led someone to the Lord, you know, recently, but I couldn't tell you the first name. Now, that's tough to handle. And many of us don't remember, but now after hearing that, my last one, I remember because I got better at it, you see. And so I remembered. And the only reason I remember is not because I'm good at it, no. it's because it was a huge eye-opener God moment for me. And one of our previous exchange students, Pete, he probably had a rough life. I don't want to go into details because that's not what it's about. But when he came to us for an exchange student, he was kind of rebellious kind of kid. And he knew about church and that kind of thing. But it was a huge God moment for me. And we had a Thursday night basketball at the First Baptist Church. And we'd all been playing. We'd all been eating dinner, that kind of thing. And we all cleaned up. Everybody that was there, we all helped clean up. And we all left. But when we got home, we thought, well, maybe I think we might have left the ham out. So we did remember to go back and put it away. It was only 12:30 in the morning. So Mary, myself, and Pete, we got in the car and went up there and took care of it. And we were kind of going through, and it was pitch black, and it was kind of scary, kind of creepy, okay? But I knew I wasn't scared. I knew I wasn't afraid, you know, because I knew it was God's house, and there was always a peaceful serenity to me, and that's what Pete said. He said, it's peaceful. And we walked into the narthex because we were going to go into the sanctuary. And so we stood there, and we talked for a minute, and we were kind of having a conversation, but then Pete said he wanted to go in the sanctuary. And as we go into the sanctuary doors, the sanctuary has this huge cross on it, about 20 foot tall, 8 feet wide. And this cross is just lit up. The only light in the church is lit up. And as we're walking in, it's quiet. All you hear is our footsteps on these carpet. And before I could even look to Mary or look to Pete and say anything, he's on his knees at the altar praying. And now, I didn't know what he was praying about, but what I did know is that he was handling it with God right then and there. I didn't do it. Mary didn't push it. It was a Holy Spirit kind of thing, and you could feel it in that room that night. And as he stood up, he had this look of, you know, it's okay. And I wasn't gonna say anything to him after that. But there was a passion inside me for this one that I loved at this point in time. See, I love Pete. I care for him like a brother. And there was a passion inside me at that moment that I needed to go, Pete, if we leave this church right now tonight, and it was only maybe a 30-second ride home from where we were from the church, I said, Pete, if we die in the car on the ride home in a car accident, do you know where you're going? And he looks at me and he says, absolutely, Travis. And I was so excited. He said, I'm going right through the windshield because I never wear my seatbelt. And that was Pete. Okay, that was Pete. I said, no, seriously, Pete, let's be very serious right here. I said, do you know if you're going to heaven or hell? And he said, well, I think I'm going here. But he wasn't 100% sure. I said, so let's do that right now. And that night in that church, we booked his flight home. But I knew he wasn't going back to Germany. Okay? I knew that I'm going to see him for everlasting life. And he knew that night that he was okay to go. But what have I done, or what would he have done if I had neglected that and just thought he'd have been okay, you know? It's because of passion inside me. But why can't we all have that passion for complete strangers? Do we care enough? You see, Jesus cared enough about us, didn't know us. But see, Jesus cared enough about us to go to the cross and die. And I can't even have enough passion, enough care to go talk to somebody? That's tough. That is a task for me to do. That shouldn't be a task. In verses 2 and 3 of Romans 9, we see phrases like great heaviness and a continual sorrow. And Paul wants to trade spots. Great heaviness. You never heard it put like that. He has burdens on his shoulders for these people that he knows are going to hell. And he wishes he could trade spots with them. That's the passion we need to have. And I find it hard because I can't even do it. See, he cared about Israel as I did about Pete, like my brother. Had it been Derek Tevin that night in that church, I'd have done the same thing. I know I would have. Because I cared that much. But here's why I'm so hurt at myself, because I can't have that for other people. I can't have that for strangers. I can't go talk to them. I should be able to do that. See, Because when I talk to pastor and I talk to my parents, I talk to whoever, another Christian, I go, you know where we're going one day? And how joyful it is. How peaceful is your whole world at that moment that you're thinking about where you're going one day? Everlasting life. Not for a little bit. No, everlasting life. We're going to heaven. But on the flip side, we know where lost souls are going as well. We know. Because it says, you know, whoever's name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into a lake of fire. Now, if you imagine that, sometimes I don't even like to jump in a lake of water. Now he's going to be cast into a lake of fire. That's the motivation. That's where the passion needs to come into play. See, because we know what we have, and we know what they don't. We know where they need to be, and we know how to do it. They don't. Lost souls don't understand. Some of them refuse it, yes. But what if we don't even try? It's about a family. I can ask any one of you in this room right now, do you care about your family? Yes, I care deeply about my family. Don't mess with my family. And anybody would say that right now in this room. But it's about the family as God as well. See, and right now, family of God, we need to have each other's backs, per se. We need to have each other's backs. And the only reason to do that is to, we got to help them out. You know, we got to have that passion. We got to have that strive. We just have to. Because why? Because they are lost and on their way to hell forever. Forever. Not for a couple weeks. Not for a vacation. Forever. They're on their way to hell. That's one why. The other why I came up with is because they don't know God's righteousness. How do they learn about it? We all know how they learn about it. They learn by Christians. But not by just me telling them. Not by... That's a great way to do it. Tell them about it. Teach them about it. But it's the way we live as well. How many people refuse church because of hypocrites? How many people refuse church because of the way they live? Or it's your actions. Your actions. And like we've heard it all your life, actions speak louder than words. And sometimes they really do. They really do speak louder than words. And if you think it's hard, well, I think it's very hard to go and talk to him about it. I think it's very hard to speak about it. I get nervous up here speaking about it. So you're speaking to a complete stranger is very difficult. Now, you have to change every aspect of your life so they can see it as well. So if you think talking about it's hard, you think teaching them about it's hard, we should be living it. We should be promoting it. We should be showing it. And that, subconsciously, is even harder for us to do. Even harder. The way we talk, sharp tongues. Happens to everybody, sharp tongues. And I think that is the biggest way. The biggest way we stray people away or we mislead them or, you know, false truths. Because of our sharp tongue. So in conclusion tonight, if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure you are going to heaven, we can book that flight tonight. See, because if we don't and your name's not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be in a lake of fire forever. It says you will be cast into a lake of fire forever. So if you feel moved to change that tonight, I urge you to do it. I beg you to do it. See, because if you're lost, I know where you're headed. And so I beg you tonight, if you do not know 100% sure that if you get in an accident on the way home from this church tonight, that you're not going to heaven, I beg you to change that tonight. If you feel an urge, please don't fight it. If you feel something telling you, moving you to get up and come to this altar tonight, please don't fight it. Some of us tonight are believers, and we know. But we're kind of going through the motions. Should you, between you and God, rededicate your life tonight? Rededicate with a whole new passion? A whole new burning in your heart for these lost souls in this world? And if you do believe tonight, and you know 100% you're going to heaven, that's awesome. But like I said, we know where the lost souls are going. So tonight, are you going to neglect the lost souls? Are you going to go ahead and just say, no, I'll let somebody else take care of that? Because Jesus could have done that to us. So are we going to neglect that? And if not, what are we going to do differently? The way we speak to them? Or the way we act? The way we live? We need to do our part for the family of God. And I say that here because it starts here. It starts here. Tonight. And it doesn't end when you walk out of the building. It doesn't end when we leave the parking lot. It doesn't end. We need to do our part. Do we care enough? Do you care enough? That's my last challenge to you. Is that if you decide you're living life the right way and there's nothing you need to change, do you care enough? The lake of fire, the heavens, we know the difference, we can see it. Do you care enough to change their path? As Adam sings, there's an open altar where anybody can handle things with God tonight. And like I said before, if you feel something pushing you, if you feel God telling you to change something, whether you're a believer, whether you need to rededicate, or whether you're your lost soul, I beg you tonight, please don't fight it. Please.